Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Spirit Guides, a conversation with Jen Johns. What is a spirit guide? Does everyone have a spirit guide? Or is it only a select few who are privileged enough to have guidance from the other side? These are some of the questions one may ask when inquiring about a concept that's as common as breathing air to others. Today we discuss the world of spirit guides with Jen Johns, their role with the living, and how one can better understand and communicate with the other side.
It was actually at a really young age. I first got into it when my mother started going to do tarot card readings, or she would go and get them, or she would visit a psychic or anything like that. And she would usually take me with her, not into the room per se, but usually this would be in a metaphysical bookstore or something of that sort. So I would be waiting for her and looking around at all of this stuff, and immediately I was just drawn to it, like I was meant to do it or meant to be involved in it somehow. After all of these readings, things started to kind of kick in, and for some reason I started finding interest in Ouija boards, which I didn't have any previous knowledge of other than maybe seeing it on a television show or a movie or something like that. So I started making them since my mom wouldn't buy me one. I was really young, probably 8 years old or so. And I'm over here using manila folders to make them or pieces of paper, things like that, drawing my own designs. And ironically enough, they would actually work. And I couldn't figure that out, how it was actually working with just me, but for some reason it did. And so the first paranormal experience I actually had was a shadow figure appeared in my room one night. My mom was at work, or maybe she went to the store, I'm not really sure. But so I was home alone, I was in my bedroom. Everything seemed to be going fine. I look in the hallway and there's this huge dark figure standing in the hallway, just completely blocking out the light. And I turned my head and there was fear there, but the fear I felt was, what is this thing doing in my apartment? Instead of, oh my God, what is that? So it's kind of a strange reaction to have, but that was how I felt about it. And then I turned back because I heard my mom's keys in the front door and it was totally gone. So that was my first experience with the paranormal, and I pretty much have been in it ever since.
So tell me more about how your mom was interested in these things, into tarot cards and things of that nature. And you're at the bookstore. What was your knowledge of what your mom was into, and what was she doing?
The only thing she wanted to do really was get readings. She doesn't do them herself or anything. She does have her own abilities, but they're not real strong. She just kind of, I don't know if she fully accepts them, actually. When I was little and I was seeing all these things, hearing them, I could sense presences and things like that. She thought it was just me being a kid with an imagination and all that. So as far as with her stuff, she was going to get tarot card readings or psychic readings, anything she could get. She was, you know, the typical woman, like the clients that come to me for readings, actually, how's their love life going? Where's it going? Or is she going to get married again? Is she going to have another kid? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was anything, you know, real serious. She pretty much wanted a heads up on what's coming up.
Sure. So you see your mom, you know, being into this and believing it and helping other people with it. And then you start making your own Ouija boards. Was your mom using Ouija boards at all? Or, I mean, I know you said that she would not let you have one, but what led you down the road of thinking, well, okay, well, tarot cards are something that's going on here. What led you to think Ouija boards would go into some direction?
Well, the thing is with my mom, she always went to other people. She didn't read the cards herself. Okay. She never had a tarot deck or anything like that. She never had anything of that sort in the house. Mm-hmm. So, and she was not somebody that could read people or anything like that. Her ability was more, she would dream about somebody or think about someone that she hadn't seen in years. Like all of a sudden it would just be real strong for a day or two. And then she would get a phone call to find out that they passed away. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of ability that she, or the ability that she has. I do feel like she has pretty strong intuition. And now over all these years and finding out what I actually had gone through that she didn't know about, she's now the one calling me all the time to tell me about the paranormal activity that her and my daughter have in their house.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about your journey into, you were making your own Ouija boards yourself. Tell me, you know, you had mentioned that you were surprised that they seemed to work. Uh-huh. Tell me about those experiences, like specifically, like, how did some of those go where you really had those moments going, oh, this works?
Well, in moments like that, I mean, they would warn me that something was going to happen, or I can't remember specifically what they were saying to me when I was a kid, but I do definitely remember that they were telling me things, and just like in ghost form, they don't always tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. For one thing, they are just like how they were when they were alive. So if they were a jokester and they thought it was funny, they would tell you what they think you want to hear just to see your reaction. Because it's funny. So, it wasn't until my later years, and I say later as in, you know, having grown up a bit. But this was probably, gosh, my early 30s or so. Mm-hmm. And I was warned that day I was going to be in a car accident. And I thought, I'm only going to work, which is a mile away. So how, I just don't see that happening. And sure enough, I did. Wow. So, but what I came to realize is that it was mostly my spirit guides that actually were coming through to me on the board. When they would tell me something like that to give me a heads up, it was a spirit guide, no doubt. It wasn't a ghost, because ghosts are stuck in a realm and they don't know what your future is. How could they possibly know anything? Mm-hmm. They don't know anything beyond themselves and what's going on right now. So I figured out that it was my spirit guide's way of connecting with me. Nowadays, I don't need to use the board to talk to my spirit guides. I can just do it directly and I hear them and it's all good. But for the longest time, that's what I used my boards for, was to talk to my spirit guides, because I didn't know how to connect with them otherwise. And they're real patient with me, and they finally got through to me. And like I said, now I'm able to do it without the board. But that's not to say that I still don't use the board now and then. to connect purposefully with ghosts, because I've had people invite me to be like a guest psychic in their group and go with them to a haunted location, and they want me to bring a board. So and so I do. And it's really funny because the information I get through the board is actually from the person that we just saw, or we see a minute later, or an EVP that gets captured. It all goes hand in hand, and so it makes it more valid. So it's really cool. But I don't use boards on a regular basis anymore. Mm-hmm. That was a childhood thing, because I thought, man, you know, I don't have a whole lot of friends anyway, and I'm home a lot because I was a homebody. and so I was always connecting on the board because I could talk to somebody.
Sure. There's a lot to unpack. There are a lot of questions I have kind of regarding everything you just said. Let's first kind of talk about the Ouija boards and what, you know, what they can do, what they can't do, because quite a bit of what we hear about these days is, you know, using a Ouija board or using other devices to communicate with the other side. Ghost boxes being one of the more common things that we see outside of EVPs. Are you familiar with ghost boxes where it scans the frequencies and things of that nature?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes. So I'm very interested to hear your opinion on the difference between something like a Ouija board and something like that, where you're asking questions, but you're relying on another device to kind of give you what you're looking for. What is there a difference, and what is it, if there is a difference?
Well, actually, I consider all of those things tools. Mm-hmm. I don't see them as harmful. What makes it harmful is the person using it. And what I mean by that is it all has to do with your intention. What are you trying to reach out to? Are you protecting yourself? Are you making sure that nothing's going to come through and follow you home? There's a lot of things to consider. And all of these devices, the board, the ghost box, even digital recorder, anything that you're using to reach out to the dead, including yourself, mm-hmm. is a tool. And they can come through any of it, and any of it can become what they call a portal. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter which one you're using. You can actively cause yourself some difficulties bringing something through if you're not careful.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.